The Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast with Bhairav Patel and Alan Clark.
Welcome to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast, where we tackle the practical challenges that startup founders and small business owners face and give our own unvarnished opinions. My name is Bhairav Patel. I'm the Managing Director at Atom Ventures and Atom CTO, where we partner with small businesses and startup founders to help them define and build their tech vision.
And I'm Alan Clark. I'm the founder of the Business Growth Partnership, and we work with high-potential businesses to help them unblock the blockages that are preventing them from reaching their full potential.
Hi, everybody. Welcome along to this latest episode of the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast. What we'd like to chat about today is around the mechanisms and the stages for raising money to fund a growing business. And this was a whole area when I first stepped into it 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, that it seemed like there was a whole new language that I'd never heard of before. And the further I dug into it, the more I began to get the feeling that the same words were used by some people for different things. There were, of course, certain things that were relatively well said, but it wasn't a logical, sequential progress that everybody could follow. It wasn't step by step. And I guess the first thing that I came across was in a meeting where somebody said, "Are you bootstrapping this?" And I thought, what the heck is bootstrapping? I don't even know what that means. Can't even work out a logic of boots and straps. What might the relevance of that mean to what we're doing? And then we quickly moved on to conversations on, we don't do pre-seeds. What we do is do seed funding. And I had no idea what that meant either. And then next thing you'll read about is Series A, Series B, and Series C. So what I want to have a chat about today is, what are the practical realities of this? What does it really mean when you're at those early stages and you're entering into it? Bhairav, what's your experience been in this kind of early stage world of raising money to fund businesses?
Yeah, so it's changed. I think it's changed a lot over the last years. I mean, the reason I say I think it's changed is because when I talk to people now, startups, investors, whatever it is, they use the term, same terminology you're talking about, pre-seed, seed, series A. But it seems to me that they're talking, like, different people mean different things. To different people, the terminology means different things. And so I get confused sometimes when I'm listening to people. So for example, right, we're about to invest in a private round, because now you've got private rounds and public rounds and all these kinds of things as well, right? So we're investing in a private round, and then straight after the private round, they're going to do a Series A, right? But actually, you know, in the old world, you'd say, or maybe, you know, the traditional sense of it, you'd have pre-seed, seed, Series A, B, C, D, E, right? And so now you've got a private sale, and then you've got a Series A straight afterwards. And, you know, that's not normal, right? People don't normally raise a chunk of money and then try and raise another big chunk of money straight afterwards, right? Normally you have to kind of do stuff in the middle, like prove your business, you know, show that you can actually make money, all these kinds of things. But now that's what's happening. And so I think I'm getting quite confused. But, you know, when we're investing or when you're raising, I kind of feel that it's just a logical thing, right? That if you are in idea stage, that's got to be the pre-seed stage, I guess, when you're trying to figure out whether the idea is valid. But I don't know.
Ask you about that then, because this was one of the areas I found confusing. So, logically, thinking about seed, for me, it was, you know, the logic there was, or the metaphor there was, we have some compost, and we drop a seed, an idea into it, and it does its early germination. So I got that. That was kind of like the first stage of growing anything, was you took the very most basic constituent parts together and you saw, would it grow, would it germinate? And in a business context, that would be, we've got some ideas, we've got some people, we're going to bring it together and see what happens. So where the heck does a pre-seed come in? Is that before we got John Foster, before we got a scene? That means we got nothing.
You know, I reckon there's probably someone out there that has not good knowledge of the history about it. But I think in many ways, it's come as a kind of just a terminology for friends and family rounds. I think that's what it is, really, because I don't know anyone who professionally invests in a pre-seed company. Because what the hell, like you say, what does that mean? And I think it's more when I hear pre-seed, it's like someone's coming up with an idea. They need some help. They want to make sure that they get some money for even having the idea. And that's where they go to friends and family and say, okay, I've got this idea.
Okay. So let me throw an idea to the people that are listening in. I would almost suggest that you try not to get too hung up on what these terminologies are. And maybe what you and I will have a chat about today are the four core stages of funding an early stage of growing business. So this first one is when there isn't really much there, but you're investigating to find out if you can make something of it. So this is the area where this notion of bootstrapping, what bootstrapping means is you're funding it yourself. Nobody else is putting money into the business. Well, this is where it becomes even greater than that. There may be an element of family and friends. Maybe your parents are able in a position to put £5,000 into the account just to help you pay for stuff. But it's that really early stage when you're probably working out coffee shop or working out your bedroom and your spare room, and you're just trying to get the absolute basics together. That would probably be what we call pre-seed. Would you agree?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, again, when you're looking at the bootstrapping, again, maybe you are preceding your own idea. I know people who have sold their house, moved in with their mothers, and used that money to fund their business, right?
But so that's funding it themselves. That's out of your own resources. Yeah, really, basically, this is where there's no external involvement at all in the business. It's only those that are in it that are funding the growth in the business. So let's define that as a pre-seed. And then what is seed funding?
So traditionally, you know, that is where you are trying to raise money to build the MVP, the first version of what it is you're looking to launch. So you get a lot of, I mean, we work with a lot of companies at this stage, right, where they are looking, they've got their idea, they've got some sort of market validation, they know pretty much what they want to build. Then they come to us, we work through that idea with them, and we put some costings down around tech, and that some of them have the money, some of them don't. They don't have the money, they go off and try and raise that seed funding. So that's the compost and the germination of that idea.
And this is when you start bringing external money into the business.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, we tend to tell people, you know, because a lot of times these budgets are around 50 grand, 100 grand, and we try and tell them, look, you're better off trying to raise that through your own network. So that's your seed funding is if you've got friends and family all willing to pull in, you know, 5-10 grand each, it's probably worth starting there than trying to go out and raise 100,000. Because the problem that you have with trying to raise institutional money is that they don't want to, unless they're a specialist seed funding VC, they're not really interested in small tickets, because the amount of work they have to do is the same whether they put in 5 million or 50,000, right? So they'd rather put in 5 million.
I think this is where we're potentially, and this is really valuable, you and I are having this conversation. This is where the issue of where the money comes from almost defines what sort of money it is. So at that seed stage, one of the areas that you're absolutely right, if you know someone that has got good access of money that they're willing to lose, because at this stage, there's no real evidence, hard evidence, that this business is going to work. So this is about the highest risk money that will ever go into your business, which is always a really interesting one. So I want to go and ask my family and friends to meet the highest risk investment they will probably ever make. And if they lose it, I'm going to have to front up to them at every birthday party and every Christmas family gathering as we move forward. And one of the other areas that I'm familiar with at this stage that is actually really good for seed funding are what are called, and here's another term, angel networks, angel syndicates. An angel is a lovely term because they are wonderful, helpful people who are like angels because they come to support really early, really high-risk businesses to see if they can move forward. And largely these are high net worth individuals, which is exactly what it says in the term. The term, these are people who have got a high net worth and have enough money that they're actually willing to make a lot of relatively small bets on the basis that a lot of them, they will lose everything, but some of them, they will make a fabulous return because by being in really early on, if the business is successful, what they have, that stake in the little business will be worth a lot of money later on. So in angel syndicates, they understand that actually this is really high risk. And often what you're getting when you bring on board an angel syndicate is money, is maybe 100, 200 grand, but it comes in 10 grand tranches from angels who are part of that syndicate. So that's money. But the other thing that a great angel investor brings is relevant expertise and enthusiasm and direction. Because they will not run your business for you, but they are interested in you succeeding. So you might end up with somebody joining the board in a non-executive role with very, very relevant and direct advice. But one of the other real joys that I've seen is I know people that you don't know that can be helpful to help you make this business succeed. So that's that area around seed, which for me is almost like once you've germinated the idea in your pre-seed round, it is adding more fertilizer and support around your tiny little seedling in the hope that it will grow into something worthwhile. And it may wither and die for all the reasons that things wither and die, but these people understand that that's a likelihood. And they will not be terribly upset if it does, because they know they will have given the best support, which arguably makes them. Well, another thing is, you don't have to face up to them at birthday parties and Christmas.
That's true. And I think, you know, what's important here is that, like a number of companies, one of the companies you might know up in Scotland called Hindsight, I remember when they were raising their money, you know, they looked in their network for exactly the person you were saying, a high net worth, who could essentially be the kind of linchpin investor. So oftentimes what you're looking for is you're looking to go and find someone who's fairly well connected to you. So has some sort of, he may not be your uncle or aunt, but he may be your mate's uncle or maybe your mate's aunt. And they've got some money and some history or understanding of the sector that you're in or the industry that you're in, and who may have dabbled in something similar before. And that's always a good thing to do. And I think what a lot of people forget is they forget to use and leverage that network, right? And it's not just about going to your mum and dad or your immediate mates. It's about trying to find those people out there that have previous business experience, but also experienced investing.
Let me give a really live example of exactly that. And that was when in our Team Rock journey, where we had our idea and then we thought, how can we lever this? How can we move from where we are now to where we want to get to? And the missing link was an old boss of one of the, in fact, of three of the guys that were in the team. And in that role as their old boss, a former client of mine. So he knew us all personally. He knew us, our business acumen and skills. And he agreed to come on board and we appointed him as chairman because he had a stellar reputation in the area that we were working in. And you know what he also did? He put £250,000 of his own money into the business as a statement of intent. And he was a sufficiently high net worth individual that nobody in the world wants to lose £250,000. But if he lost it, it wasn't the end of it wasn't going to change his lifestyle at all. But what it also said, that as we move down to the next level of investment, the investors that we brought in, who were very arm's length, they said, well, if this guy believes enough to put 250,000 of his own pounds into it, as he is a non-executive chairman, that gives us a lot of reassurance that there's probably something worthwhile going on here. So that probably leads us into...
I'd say before we get into that, the next one, I think there's a few other bits I think people who may not be familiar with this process should really understand. And one is obviously the EIS, SEIS piece. So that's very important. And that's one way that you'll be able to look your friends and family in the face if you do lose out on the money, because with these schemes, they at least get some tax back, right? And that's a really, I mean, it's a great scheme in itself, but it allows you to kind of get that money with risk, but with the investors also getting something back if it does go horribly wrong. And I think the other thing to think about is, you know, approaching angels, it's like I said, the first step is always really look at your network, but you've also got these things like Angel List, Angel Co. And up in Scotland, you've got Scottish Angels, who are pretty active, actually. They're very active in certain sectors. So it's well worth reaching out, because the thing is that, you know, these guys are all interested in new ideas and new technology. And it's not, I mean, they hear probably thousands of pitches a week, right? They probably get inundated with information. But if you make the approach in the right way, generally, you know, they'll be quite receptive. And I think it's, again, as you mentioned, which is a very good point, is that the quality of person that you can get early on will dictate how that funding goes further down the line. And I think those, and also the last thing is a British bank, the business bank. The business bank is also a good way for you to raise some capital. You know, obviously it's unsecured on your own back, but it is a good way if there's a few of you in there to get 10 grand each, 15 grand each, I think.
You know, I think there's a series of three webinars we're going to have to do. I think of three contrasts, sorry. One is, what is SEIS? What is EIS? What's the difference between them, and when are they appropriate? Another one is a conversation about the different types of shares that one can put into a business or release in a business. And a third one are the different sources of funding that businesses can look at. And with the best will in the world, I think we are going to bring in somebody expert in these areas, because a little knowledge is an extremely dangerous thing when it comes to funding. So that's definitely a little theme that we will definitely pick up on. So we've talked about pre-seed, bootstrapping, that area which is around, is there anything here? Can we make something of what we had that is typically funded by either the people in the business or their very closest network who are willing to put some money up in the strong likelihood that this may never go anywhere? Then we spoke about the seed funding, which is when we begin to look broadly and look for people who are investing because they believe there is a good chance that they will get a return on their money, and they are being a little bit more commercial in their view. And then the next level is, well, that's worked, so we have grown a business. And this business has proven that it actually has real potential. And at that point, what we're looking to do is not seed money or pre-seed, but just, is this actually ever going to be of something? It's now saying we have a little something. How do we make it into a bigger something? So I might call that the growth stage. And then within that, and this is where we get into Series A, Series B, Series C, and, you know, there's a little logic there. They are just sequentially further rounds of funding you bring into the business as it grows. Series A, for me, I would suggest one thinks of that as the funding the business brings in to develop its, not even a nascent idea at that point, because it is actually a something. But it's almost like taking your seedling out the pot and put it into a bigger pot with more resources to see, will it become a small boot? God, where am I going with this? And then Series B is, well, do you know what? This is growing strongly. It needs a much bigger pot now. Let's get that bigger pot with more resources. to let the grow, the boots grow into a sapling. And then CD or whatever round it is, or IPO, which is another thing altogether, is when you're then planting it out in the orchard to let the great big tree grow.
And there is actually a thing called rapid IPO, which you can talk on a little bit. But no, I agree. And I think one thing to remember is that actually the amount of money raised is kind of irrelevant to the process. So I've seen seed rounds of hundreds of millions of pounds, right? Or hundreds of millions of dollars. So it really is that process. And I think the Series A is...
Yeah, well, what I'm saying, you do, but that's not normal.
No, it's not normal. But it's usually...
Normally, seed rounds are in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, and typically that's kind of companies that have some sort of patent, right? Where they need the money then to exploit that patent. But yeah, so I think it's the Series A, I think, is always in a way the most important, because you'll have validated at least some version of your business, right? That you have launched. And that's when you know that you can replicate that and take it out and go and expand into new markets or aggressively approach new customers. And it's still, you may not even be making any money at the moment, as in you may not be turning a profit, but you can still go out there and prove to people that if you inject a huge amount of cash in, then we can accelerate this growth. Rather than it taking us 5 years, you can do it taking 2 years.
I think there's also worth saying that there tends to be an inverse relationship to risk and cost the further one goes through the process. Because once you've got a very validated business that is absolutely proven that it can deliver a profit, make sales and deliver a profit, raising money isn't that hard, because investors look at it and go, well, this is a sure thing. This is a proven model. So at that point, you're likely to end up with a lot more people, a lot more interested in what you're doing, and willing to add less for the money that they'll put in. Whereas in the very early stages, this is unproven. Often there's not much more than an idea and some talent. And there's a very strong likelihood, because it's a fact of life, the vast majority of startups do not succeed, that I will lose all my money. And it's almost, when you need it the most, it's the hardest to get. And when you need it the least, it's the easiest to raise.
It's true. See, one thing to that's quite important, I think, that people should understand is also the notion of cap tables. So who actually owns the shares within the business and at what valuation. And I think what a lot of people do at the very beginning is they tend to say to people, let's say they have 10, 15 investors, and then try and give each of those 15 investors a different set of terms. And that's something that you should try and avoid as much as possible, simply because if you do succeed, then the larger institutional investors, the more experienced ones, will look at that and see if it's quite a messy cap table. They may shy away from it because you've got too many people who all need to make a decision, but have all different incentives.
Yeah, well, that's another subject matter we could do an entire podcast on, is the issues around that. So I think for the purposes of today, for this podcast, we've probably said enough. We've not even touched on IPO, but that initial public offering, when you start from being a private company and go public, but we'll talk about that another day as well. So hopefully that's been useful in maybe debunking some of the confusion around pre-seed, seed and growth funding, and some of the language that's used about that.
Yes, and we haven't even touched on the rapid IPO and SPACs, so this is a fertile ground for new knowledge out there.
Well, I hope that was useful, and I look forward to seeing you next time.
Cheers.
Many thanks for taking the time to listen to the podcast today. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, all the main podcasting sites. And if you'd like to learn more from us, you can contact Alan. He's alan@tbgp.co.uk. And you can find me at info@atomcto.com.